Please forgive me for preempting Thrive with Brad Bigney. My name is Todd Friel. I'm the executive director of Fortis Institute. We have the joy of producing Thrive, which is ranked in the top 3% of all podcasts worldwide. Why? Because, like you, I'm learning a ton from Brad. After 35 years of marriage, I listen to Thrive, and I'm reminded of what marriage is all about and how to do it in a more God-glorifying way. If that describes your experience with this podcast, would you please consider supporting Fortis Institute as the year draws to a close? Super crucial giving season for us. It'll help us enter 2026 in a very healthy fashion and reach even more people and strengthen even more marriages. If you would kindly consider becoming a gospel partner, you can do that at fortisinstitute.org/donate.
Marriage is what brings us together today.
Marriage, raising kids, building a family. Those were the things we dreamed of.
Tuck your daughter in!
Always!
Just calm down.
I've given you the best years of my life.
Take out the trash!
Yeah, I'll get to it.
I want a divorce!
Welcome to Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, diving into what it means to thrive, not merely survive in marriage, parenting, and family life. And now, your host. This is Pastor Brad Bigney.
Hello, you're listening to Thrive, and I'm your host, Pastor Brad Bigney, with my wife, Vicky Bigney, by my side.
Hello.
Oh, we're going to keep talking about what God is talking about. And oh, we are both so thankful that God has spoken. We do not have a God that does not speak.
Yes.
The question is, are you listening?
Mm-hmm.
And then more than that, do you put it into practice? I think about that analogy that Jesus gave us in Matthew 7, house built on the rock, house built on the sand.
Yes.
Wow, we've been saying so much from God's word, but I want you to understand, just listening to the Thrive show will not change your marriage or make it grow. You have to listen and then say, how would I put that into practice this week? Because Jesus told the parable, he said, house built on the rock, house built on the sand, both face storms. Every marriage is going to face storms. Both had the wind, had the rain, had the floods. Here's what people don't realize. Do you realize he said both? The house built on the rock and house built on the sand heard the word. Sometimes people see, we just need to be in a good church and hear good preaching. I just need to hear the Bible. I need to follow a great Bible teacher on YouTube. Yeah. But if you don't put it into practice, he says, the thing that put the house on the rock versus house on the sand. I love the NIV version that says, but the house built on the rock, put it into practice. That's the challenge. How would I put that into practice? And that starts by moving it out of fuzzy land generalities into specifics. So for weeks now, we've been breaking it down. What does pride possibly look like? Because pride is one of the biggest marriage killers that will choke out the oxygen of love. Because 1 Corinthians 13 says, love does not envy, does not parade itself, is not puffed up and arrogant, but it has so many different faces. It's a chameleon. So let's give you another one.
I like this one.
Take it, Vicky.
Have a lot.
What's another manifestation of pride? It's actually rooted in pride. You've probably seen this, but you wouldn't have thought, what is driving that?
I have so many strong thoughts on this. This is voicing your preferences or opinions when not asked.
Ooh.
A proud person might not be able to keep his preferences or opinions to himself. He will offer it when it is not asked for. These preferences are usually voiced without consideration for others.
Mm.
And I really like this.
So you mean
this.
Just because you know it, you don't have to say it?
In fact, please don't.
Oh.
Yes, there's so much we are thinking that we shouldn't necessarily say. Mm. And a verse that I really like to use with this is Proverbs 20, verse 3. It is an honor Hello, it is an honor for a man or woman to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling.
Mm.
And every other translation just simply used the word quarrel for meddling because yeah. that's what meddling causes. So let me read that again. It is an honor for a man or woman to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. So I'm going to give you the definition.
I was going to ask, meddling. What is the definition of meddling?
It's not
meddling.
A word we use a lot.
It's a very Southern sounding word.
I like it then, all yeah. the more. Let me define meddling for you.
Is the origin Georgia?
I think it is. Okay. South Georgia.
Meddling.
Let me give you a definition of meddling. Giving our help, that's in parentheses, or opinion when not asked. Let
giving
me say it
our
again.
Help.
Giving our help or opinion when no one's asking. And this is a great verse with your husband or your adult children.
Ooh.
The Vicki Bigney translation is, a fool gives his or her opinion when no one's asking. Mm. And I understand as women, we're naturally fixers, which can be okay when you're completing a project or navigating a fight between your kids. But meddling is giving our opinion or our 2 cents worth when no one's asking because we know the outcome we want.
Mm.
For example.
So meddling sometimes is actually a means of controlling and
yes.
trying to move things in the direction you want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you try to deceive yourself saying, I'm being helpful,
right.
but you're actually trying to control it.
Right. We're giving our opinion because we know the outcome we want. And we want it to make sure they do it our way.
Do young adult kids like this?
No.
Do they say, thank you, Mom?
Husbands don't like this.
Oh, no,
I mean,
don't.
Often when Brad and I are going to the airport, you know, usually it's like 6 o'clock in the morning. We're flying around. We always park in, what is it? Advantage. C.
We have advantage parking.
Yes.
That's section C on the third level of the garage.
And I don't really know how he parks without me. I already have so many opinions of where he should park. And I've really... Ooh. I mean, this is an area that I'm still trying to work on. In fact, I cannot wait. I don't know what topic it's going to be under, but as I talk to women all over this country, men and driving, it's going to come up on one of our shows. I cannot wait. It's still an area that we are being sanctified in.
It's so hard not to help.
It is. It is very hard
not to help. I don't know how I did it without my little helper.
So,
I don't know how I got anywhere in my vehicle without my helper.
And I don't know why, but like whenever we're driving around, I'm just like, there's one. No, he wants to get closer. He wants to get closer.
I have something in mind.
And one time this was just hilarious because I was literally sitting there at like 6:30 in the morning thinking he just keeps missing great parking places. And I saw this bumper sticker that said, keep calm and drive on. And I just laughed out loud because I'm like, this is God's word to me. And I just smiled because I thought, I was just trying, Lord.
Up ramp after ramp after ramp, swirling around the Cincinnati parking garage.
Yes. But I have another example that happened a few years ago. We were going on a family trip to Mexico, and our son Garrett had never gotten a passport, so he needed a passport, and he stopped by our house to ask for his birth certificate, and that's all he asked for. However, I wanted to control the outcome, and I went and got his passport, and then I thought, I do not want his passport. I know how long it takes to get a passport because I've done it, and I started meddling. I started to tell him, first, you need to go to Walgreens, and they'll pull this little thing down. They'll take your passport picture. He's just like, yeah. And then I said, then you need 2 forms of ID. It's a copy of your driver's license or the real thing. And the more I said, he just said, Mom, I've got it. I've got it. And I thought, why is he getting so mad? I'm just trying to
help.
And then it dawned on me, he hadn't asked for my help.
He asked for his birth certificate.
Exactly.
I was
meddling. I'm giving my help when he isn't asking because I so don't want this to go wrong. And this is turning into a quarrel and it's ticking him off.
And it's affecting the relationship.
And it's my fault. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's something I've really been trying to work on. I mean, we lived in a sin-cursed world. The things often that my husband hasn't asked my help on, like on finding a place at the airport to park, I want to tell him to do, and the things he actually asked for my help on, I don't really want to do that.
But let's back it up a minute.
I think
it's a good place, your story with Garrett, because we've had to really work on this. This is not just moms.
Mm-hmm.
I think moms struggle with it a little more, But if you're listening and you're raising kids, there is a huge shift that has to take place between parenting children and parenting teens and young adults.
There should be a shift. There isn't always.
There should be. If you keep relating to them and talking to them just like you did when they were a child, they will hate it.
You are not still training them. Yep. That ship has sailed.
It's now, you need to let them fail. You need to let them think. You need to let them, and they will not do it as well as you. No doubt. It's their first rodeo. It's the first time to get a passport.
Right.
But you'll watch something happen and you'll think, what is wrong? Well, they don't like you talking to them still like they're a child and telling them everything they need to do, unless they asked.
Right. All the more when they're married, you're really stepping in where you shouldn't. You're meddling.
I like to say it like this. When your children reach young adult, and to me that's 17, 18 for sure when they're out of your home and they're 20, 21, 20. We now are on a consulting basis. That's the shift.
So hard for me. So
that unless they say, hey, do you have any thoughts about what house we should buy?
Then you don't give your thoughts. Get.
Hey, do you have a thought about, oh, of course I have a thought. But we do not give our thought. Mm-hmm. Oh, you don't want to buy that house. Oh, you shouldn't do that. Mm-hmm. Oh, you need to be on a consulting basis. And what Vicky is touching on, very often we have it cloaked, like I had my type A high achiever go 100 miles an hour cloaked as for the glory of God. Sometimes this is cloaked as I'm being so helpful.
Right.
But it's actually, I'm being so controlling.
Right.
And it's pride.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to run someone else's life besides my own. Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to take a break. But when we come back, we'll talk some more about what does this good Southern biblical Georgia word look like? Meddling. We'll be back.
And we'll be back with more from Brad and Vicky in just a moment. You know, it's funny how meddling, it kills relationships faster than major sins. Okay, so nobody's going to file for divorce over one unsolicited piece of parking advice. That doesn't happen once, but 20 years of it, that's a different story. It's death by a thousand helpful suggestions. And the worst part about it is the meddler genuinely believes they're being loving and helpful. And the first thing I want to address today is something very specific. Some of you out there have been listening to Thrive for well over a year, since its inception. You've heard Brad and you've heard Vicky being vulnerable in this very program. Their honesty and their willingness to admit that they still struggle with this stuff, that's what makes Thrive so effective. And if Brad and Vicky have helped you in your marriage, if they've helped you see things in a little bit different way, I want to ask you to do something. Right now, at this point in time, at the end of the year, you joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner helps us more than you know. We have a match campaign happening right now through the end of this year. So every dollar you're able to donate to Fortis Institute will be doubled. Your impact will be doubled and our reach will be doubled. If you can join us right now as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, we would be eternally grateful. Find out exactly what I'm talking about and what it looks like to join us at fortisinstitute.org. Right now, it means twice as much. And now let's get back to Brad and Vicky. This is Thrive. Welcome back to Thrive.
You're exactly like your mother.
Are you kidding me?
Life with you was joyless.
And now back to your host, Pastor Brad Bigney.
Welcome back. You're listening to Thrive, and we're trying to show you just some of what God had to show us. And trust me, we were not seeing it right away. We didn't think there was anything new that we needed to see. Mm-hmm. We were convinced our spouse needed to see and do a whole bunch of new stuff. But for your marriage to get to a better place, there's things both of you are not seeing. Things that are choking out love that sometimes we don't even recognize, but I mean to be helpful. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about manifestations of pride. And before we took a break, we were touching on the one meddling, when trying to give your opinion when no one asked for it.
Yeah, and I mean, this is good for, once again, marriage, children, relationships,
church relationships, yeah, friendships.
You shouldn't tell your friend where they should put their couch.
If you are guilty of this, you will just have strained relationships and lack of friendship.
Mm-hmm.
And they might not tell you to your face. They'll just pull back and they won't look for another opportunity to be around you. People don't want you just giving your opinion about their yard, about their house, mm-hmm. about their furniture, about even medical issues. Like, oh, you should take blah, blah, blah. It's like,
especially if you have someone like someone that has MS or someone,
mm-hmm.
you don't need to go tell them all your thoughts on that unless they're asking. And most people, I think I could say 99.8% of the time, they're not asking.
And let me insert something right here. Having been a pastor over 40 years and shepherded people, I know people in our church that do not want to share for prayer what they're facing, and it makes me sad because they would love to be prayed for, but they've reached a point, I don't want to say, oh, I just learned that I have cancer. Please pray for me. Guess why?
Mm-hmm.
Because they get dozens of unsolicited suggestions from non-medical
mm-hmm.
church members about what they should do, where to go in Mexico,
you know, and it's already
how to
a hard
hang
time
upside
in your
down,
life.
How to
That's
eat
just
this
more to
root.
Sift through. Yeah.
They're already overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And here's what I wish people recognize. Just because your friend did that,
mm-hmm.
you have no idea if their cancer is
exactly.
similar or at the same stage. Let medical professionals talk medicine. They have doctors.
Mm-hmm.
Let financial planners talk to them about their let their mm-hmm. dentist talk to them about their molar. And when you have this tendency to swoop in and say what you think, and now we live in a day with the internet and ChatGPT and AI,
mm-hmm.
you could actually think you know a lot.
Right.
But I want you to consider for a moment, you're not an expert, certainly not in dozens of fields.
Right.
Stay in your lane. And even when you do have real wisdom,
mm-hmm.
wait for someone to ask.
And we've said it before, but it's really true, especially with your adult children. And this is hard because, I mean, you have been a main influence in their lives. And we tell each of our kids this when they leave the home and get married, especially. We say it with them and their new spouse, like, hey, we love you.
We take them out
pray
to dinner.
For you. Right. But, I mean, we're not going to, unless you ask our opinion, then we're not going to give our advice. You know?
Yeah.
But that's so hard because there's so much
I want
to say.
We tried to declare it right there. I remember with our youngest.
More for my benefit to hear this.
She was the last one to get married, Sarah. And we were in Carrabba's with her sweet Blake that she's married. But I remember sitting there with Blake. Didn't know him that well. We're eating Italian food. We're chatting. I'm drawing him out a little bit and wanting to hear his testimony about salvation in Christ and a little more about him. But then I looked at him and said, Blake, this will be our posture from this. I'm granting you my blessing. He was asking if you could marry Sarah, and we're giving it to you. And from this point forward, when you guys get married, we will not tell you what we think
mm-hmm.
about all the decisions you're making.
And then he elbowed
unless
me.
Unless you asked. No, I didn't. I didn't.
But that was
but
good for me to hear.
I do remember this. Do you remember, babe?
No, I don't know what
I
you're
said that
say.
To him, and then I leaned across the table real close, and I said, but trust me, I always have an opinion.
Yes.
If you would ask me, I have a thought.
Yeah.
And that's what's so hard as you get older and you've done life.
Right.
I have a thought about everything.
Yeah.
But you should not be sharing that thought unsolicited
because
to everyone
also,
around you.
You're kind of, you know, that's a growing process they're going through. And
you're
going to
short circuit their growing
process.
You really are. But believe it or not, when you do this with people in the same season of life as you, it just strains relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you've never thought of it before, but it's possibly rooted in pride.
Mm-hmm.
You just think you know so much, and you think that they should do exactly what you've done
which
in that
just,
area.
Once again,
which
pride.
Doesn't allow for preferences.
Right.
It's like, wait to be asked. And I love it when it happens. There's times that I'm sitting on the patio with one of our sons-in-law and, oh, happiest moment when he says, Brad, can I ask you a question? Oh, can you ask me a question? Yes.
Yes.
And then he'll ask me a marriage question. You know, well, what, how did you learn blah, blah, blah? And what about Vicky? And what was it? Ooh, it's sweet.
Mm-hmm.
But I wait to be asked.
Yeah. Even like for me as a mom, I mean, it's very hard, especially with my daughters, to not give my unsolicited advice about parenting and child training. And I can still work on this. Once again, see, we're still in the growing process. I could get better at that because I have such strong feelings about it.
We have to consciously work at these things. Well, let me shift to another manifestation of pride, but I bet you have never thought this. Do you realize that very often a lack of prayer is rooted in pride? You say, Brad, how? What are you talking about? Well, if you're not praying, it means you think you've got all you need to do what you need to do in this marriage. I would challenge you to think right now, how much do you talk about your marriage to a friend at Panera Bread or in a coffee shop? How much do you pour out your heart about your marriage to another human being versus crying out to God in prayer? And I know you might think, well, God already knows. I know he knows, but he wants you to be in relationship with him, and it would do you a world of good to spend time in his presence, pouring it out to him in detail, because it's drawing you closer together with him, and he just might give you some insights in his presence in prayer. I love it that we have other people in our lives. I love it that I can learn from another set of parents that have struggled with the prodigal. I love it that I can learn from someone else who has struggled through a marriage. But you guys, nobody has the wisdom that God has.
Yeah, wonderful counselor.
Oh, he's the wonderful Prince of Peace, counselor,
mighty God.
Yeah. Prince of Peace, everlasting Father. That's who you're spending time with. And so, when you don't pray, it is actually an indictment that says you are trying to live self-sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
You think you can do it.
Functioning as an atheist.
I mean, you would never leave the house and declare on your way out, hey, babe, I believe that I can do everything necessary today. Everything that I face today, I have everything that I need to face it and do it well. That's why you didn't see me pray. That's why it took no time to pray. I just sucked down a cup of coffee, caught a little bit of the news, looked at my favorite blog, grabbed my gym bag, and headed to the car. And yet, you guys, that's what some of you are doing day after day. And you say, oh, I don't have time. I'm too busy. I bet you looked at your phone for at least 15 minutes before you left for work. I bet you spent time doing something else that isn't nearly as important or could bear the fruit that it might bear if you prayed.
And I do think, I mean, you could probably agree to this, Brad, but I think the older I get, the more I just see my need for prayer, because I'm much more desperately dependent upon Jesus, because, you know, the issues don't get any easier.
No.
They're just harder. I mean, they're harder, they're bigger, they're more concerning, they're terrifying. It's like, okay, I've got to pray.
Yeah, we don't pray less.
Right.
We know more. We have more relationships now. Now we have grandkids, adult kids.
There's a lot to pray about.
We have so many friends. We have so many relationships, having been in the same church for 30 years. There's so much that weighs on your heart.
Yes.
We pray.
Mm-hmm.
We pray so that my conversations with people would actually be helpful, would have wisdom, would have grace, would have compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And so I hope the longer you live, a greater awareness of weakness and dependency and limitations actually indicates humility.
Yes.
And when you believe that, you pray. You're like, oh, I gotta pray.
I mean, you cry out to God and say, God, please help me through this day. Yes.
I still spend time every morning praying for our church family by name. I pray for people by name. 2,500 people, 3 campuses, because I'm convinced I can't do this.
Right.
So when you don't pray, often it's because you are proud.
Mm.
It's not that you're busy. If you were humble and desperate and weak, you'd pray. It's that you think you can do it. So we're talking about what chokes out the oxygen of love in a marriage. And pride is one of the biggest killers. And it manifests itself in dozens of ways. Ask God, what does pride look like in my life? And what does it look like when it shows up in our home and in this marriage? God, give me eyes to see it. Not her sin, his sin, my sin. And then give me grace to be killing pride.
This has been Thrive from Pastor Brad Bigney, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.